The Battle for Liberty, Episode 54.
This is the Battle for Liberty.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Battle for Liberty. Once again, I'm your host, Mike Tilden. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast dedicated to the journey of the libertarian novice. Don't ever miss an episode of the Battle for Liberty. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes and Stitcher. That way, every episode will be delivered to your device with no effort required. It couldn't be easier. All right, well, I am back. It's been a couple weeks, and I apologize for the disruption in the weekly Battle for Liberty episodes, but as I alluded to in the last episode, things have gotten pretty hectic in the Tilden household lately. My work schedule and family commitments with a new baby on the way. I think it's safe to say that I vastly underestimated just how much work is going into the preparation for this next child. It's pretty clear to me that I may have been a tad arrogant in thinking that, well, we already have a couple kids, so the next one really is going to be no big deal. And as the date has come closer and closer, it's dawned upon me and my wife that we really do have a lot to do to prepare. So, you know, those of you who are regular, committed listeners of the Battle for Liberty, I really do just want to say right off the bat, thank you for your patience. Let me just give you a quick window into why I've been skipping a week here and there. You know, I began, my wife and I, that is, we began preparing for this new baby probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, which is way behind if you really think about how long we've known that this child is coming. And it was then that it dawned upon us that we had a lot to do. You know, I've already completed, my wife being as pregnant as she is, there's a lot of stuff that she can't do. For example, most of our storage space is in a crawl space that you have to go up a couple steps and climb over a wall just to get to. And then when you're there, you have to crawl around hunched over. There's no way an 8-month pregnant woman is going to be doing that. So that responsibility falls on me. And I'm perfectly happy to take that on. That's my job in this partnership. So I've spent a lot of time in the crawl space, digging through boxes of infant clothing, figuring out what's gender neutral, because we don't know the gender of the baby, and we won't know until the little bundle of joy decides to grace us with his or her presence. So I've been crawling in the crawl space, sweating my butt off, trying to find gender-neutral infant clothing, putting it all in a container, getting it out, washing it, finding the baby swing and the crib mattress and all the crib sheets and burp rags and onesies and, you know, everything that goes along with having an infant that I think my brain conveniently forgot about. Now, none of this is to say that we're not still incredibly thrilled and excited. But I think, as any expecting parent goes through, we're going through this realization of, yeah, of course, there's a lot of work that goes into this. And we kind of neglected that for a while. So we are in full swing baby prep mode at this point. I've already done all the things that I've talked about, but the list of things to do is still daunting. So all of that is just simply to tell you that every single free moment that I have that's not spent traveling and working and trying to provide for my family is now being spent with the preparations. And lately it's been preparing the nursery, because when we moved into this house, the room that we've been using as the nursery with my son, who has now moved out of the nursery, but that room is atrocious. When we moved in, we really didn't have time to get it ready. It's painted awful colors. There's pieces of the wall that need to be repaired. The ceiling has some crumbling bits of drywall that I need to repair. And we just never got around to it. And we decided that with this baby, we were going to go ahead and make all of those changes. And we want to paint, but before we paint, we have to fix the walls and the ceiling. And for those of you who don't know, for some reason in Colorado, it's pretty much standard practice that every single surface in the house is textured. And I'm sorry if you love textured walls. I don't mean to offend you, but we hate them. Look, everyone has their own personal taste. If you like textured walls, great. I'm super thrilled for you. We hate textured walls. And one of the reasons that we hate them is that anytime there's a minor blemish to a wall, if you want to repair it and repaint, you also have to re-texture the wall, which just adds another step and seems ridiculous to me, but whatever. So that's what I'm doing this weekend, and I have stolen the next 20 to 30 minutes away from helping my wife with the laundry and the cleaning and the dishes and all that kind of stuff, in addition to putting together baby stuff and getting ready. I've stolen 30 minutes to come down here and do a podcast because I want all of my dedicated listeners to know that the podcast still is a huge passion for me. I really enjoy doing it, and it's been killing my soul just a little bit knowing that week after week has gone by without an episode because I've been paying attention to the news somewhat, and I've wanted to comment on so much, and I just haven't had the time. So I hope that gives you a tiny little window into why there's been a gap in the regular episodes. And I really want my listeners to understand and just know up front that there's going to be more gaps in the next couple of weeks as we prepare for and welcome a new baby into the world and then get used to having three children, which, you know, it's a tired old cliche that parents with three or more kids have, but it's absolutely true. We're going from man-to-man to zone defense, and that's going to be a major transition for all of us because the children are about to outnumber us. Now, we are not the first people in the world to have more than two children. It's very uncommon nowadays, especially in my peer group, to have more than two kids. In fact, people give us strange looks all the time when we tell them that, yes, this is our third child, and yes, we probably want more if we're lucky enough to have them. And they look at me like, oh, you'll change your mind. You'll change your mind. And they might be right. Maybe they're right. Maybe we do change our minds after the third child. And I, you know, that may very well be the case. I'm open to that being the case. But my wife and I have always wanted a big family. And I think that's probably what's going to happen if the good Lord decides that that is indeed in the plans. So anyways, all of that is now taken care of. I've updated you on what's been going on and why there's been such a break in the Battle for Liberty's regular weekly episodes. So from here, I want to talk about one major thing this week before I let you go. And that is something that I've talked about on this show a couple of different times, but that has just been so glaringly apparent to me over the last 2 weeks. And that is the constant subliminal indoctrination of statism that goes on all around you, probably without you even knowing. In fact, on this show, I have an entire segment called Libertarian Life that deals with this sort of thing. And if you're new to the show, every now and then I do a segment called Libertarian Life, which highlights an area of your life that you might not realize is statist indoctrination. But when identified for you and analyzed properly, it becomes very clear that there is indeed something going on that is intended to put the state on a pedestal and somehow denigrate or downplay the importance of individual liberty and individual freedom. And so I believe so much that this is a part of our lives that I have an entire segment of the podcast dedicated to it. And so basically what I'm going to do today is highlight for you two or three areas in my life over the past 2 weeks that I've been absent from podcasting that have just smacked me in the face as examples of this subliminal state worship. So the first one we're going to talk about is related to a television show that I've been watching a lot of lately. And so the show that I've been watching a lot of lately on Netflix as I've been traveling around the country for my job is called Criminal Minds. And it's a very, very popular network-based crime drama based on the FBI and based on a specific unit within the FBI called the Behavioral Analysis Unit. And this unit helps track serial killers and other heinous criminals with something more than just physical evidence. They do behavioral profiling, and they use what they call victimology and other things about the potential, they call it an unsub, which stands for unidentified subject. So the potential unsub's life, to profile them and then give local law enforcement a profile from which they can try to find suspects. It's a very fascinating, and I have to admit, incredibly entertaining show. I really enjoy it. I really love it. And before we go any further into exactly what about Criminal Minds has sparked my interest for this episode, I do want to just briefly touch on something that I've talked about a couple of different times, which is the fact that libertarians can and should absolutely enjoy entertainment, arts, television programming, movies, music that aren't libertarian. Look, guys, I understand. There are some libertarians out there who are going to say, oh, you watch Criminal Minds? What a state worshiper you are. I get it, guys. The things like Criminal Minds and NCIS, which is another show I really like, and Law and Order, which I grew up on, and other crime dramas like this, I get it. There is state worship up, down, left, and right. The entire show is basically about how the state solves your problems, and the state is the knight in shining armor, and these state agencies are the only agencies that could possibly... I get that. I absolutely get it. But I have to tell you, in television entertainment and movie entertainment and music entertainment, if I cut everything out of my life that wasn't pure libertarianism, I'd be the most boring person on the face of the planet. So yes, I suspend reality and I suspend politics and I allow myself to sit down and watch Netflix and enjoy the shows that I enjoy. And I would highly recommend that you do the same thing, because I think that you will probably find that you wind up disliking life a whole lot more if you don't just allow yourself to be entertained. And that doesn't mean you have to like Criminal Minds or NCIS or Law and Order. You might like something that I don't like. Fine. To each his own. Do your thing. But I would highly advise against getting so buried in purist libertarianism that you don't allow yourself to enjoy some of the culture that doesn't necessarily agree with you. I think it's healthy to enjoy the culture that your neighbors and your friends and your family are enjoying. And, you know, the whole time you realize what's going on, that's important. And you know what? That's what the Battle for Liberty is here to do, is to just make sure we all recognize that the state worship is there and we understand what's bad about it and we understand how to counteract it and argue against it. And that's great. So with all of that taken care of, the reason that I wanted to talk about Criminal Minds this week is because I watched two episodes in a row, one yesterday and one today. And if you're not familiar with the show, one of the things that they do, which I think is really clever, actually, is in the very beginning of every single show, they give you a teaser of what the episode is going to be. And then they show you an airplane flying, which is carrying the behavioral analysis team to the scene of the crime. And one of the main characters gives a poignant quote that has to do with what the theme of the show is going to be about. So there's a lot of quotations that are given. Every single episode is a pretty cool quotation. Sometimes I like it. Sometimes I roll my eyes and groan. But at the end of the day, I think it's pretty cool that they do it this way. I don't know of another show that does the same thing. I think it's pretty creative and unique. So with all that being said, the last two episodes that I watched, and now keep in mind, Criminal Minds has been going on for, I don't know, maybe as long as 15 years, maybe it's just 10 years, I don't know. It's been going on a long time, and I think it is still going on to this day. So I'm only up to season 4, so I'm going to quote quotes and episodes from season 4, because that's where I am in my progression. But I watched an episode from season 4 yesterday, and it opens with an Ayn Rand quote. And you might want to say to yourself, like, oh yeah, this is great, the revolution, here we come, libertarians. But not so fast, because I haven't quite been able to figure out whether or not the writers of Criminal Minds have some libertarian leanings, or if they hate libertarians so much that they like to bring up libertarianism specifically to try to discredit it. And the reason that I might think that is because the first quote we're going to talk about from Ayn Rand, and here's the quote. It was before an episode called Brothers in Arms, and that episode is about police officers who are being killed. And here's the quote that they bring up. It says, quote, "We are all brothers under the skin, and I, for one, would be willing to skin humanity to prove it," end quote. And then it is specifically attributed to Ayn Rand. Okay, so let's think about this. What would they have you believe, the writers of this show? They would have you believe that Ayn Rand held a philosophy that included the use of violence. They would want you to believe that she would be willing to commit horrible acts of violence in order to prove her theories. Well, this is antithetical to libertarianism, and this is antithetical to everything I know about Ayn Rand, but that doesn't matter. They simply attribute this quote to Ayn Rand, and of course, what does that do to someone who has no idea who Ayn Rand is? Keep in mind that this show has been on for 4 seasons at this point, and other very, very famous quotes, Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, the Dalai Lama, there's all sorts of quotes from famous, famous people that people would just say, oh, I know who that is, I know what they believe, but then you get this one. A relatively obscure quote from a person that they might not know, but they've built up enough trust with their audience that their audience is now going, who's Ayn Rand? I better look this person up. And so they look up Ayn Rand, they see she's a libertarian, and boom, they conflate libertarianism with violence. Now, that's bad enough in and of itself, but here's where it gets really sinister. Ask yourself this question. Did Ayn Rand ever actually say that quotation? Of course, the answer is no, she didn't. Ayn Rand never said that. In actuality, that quote is from one of her fictional characters. Keep in mind, Ayn Rand was a very important philosopher who happened to be a libertarian, but she was also a novelist. And in her novel, The Fountainhead, one of her characters utters that quotation. She has written a fictional person into existence who utters that phrase. But the show, Criminal Minds, attributes it directly to Ayn Rand. I don't find that to be accidental. It's either sinister and purposeful, or it is so incredibly negligent that it makes it just as bad as if it were intentional. So that's the first one. And to me, building evidence that the writers probably don't like libertarians is that the very next episode, it wasn't like there was an episode in season 4 that mentioned a libertarian in their quotations, and then 5 seasons later they did it again. Maybe that could be random. This is 2 episodes in a row in the same season using people famous in the libertarian world in a negative way. So Ayn Rand was first, and then the very next episode features a quote by H.L. Mencken. And in case you don't know anything about H.L. Mencken, he is a fairly well-known journalist and commentator from the first half of the 20th century in America. He's pretty well-known for a lot of things he did. But most notably within the libertarian world, he's revered for his distaste for representative democracy, political correctness, that sort of thing. So he may not strictly be what I would call a natural rights libertarian. Honestly, I don't know enough about him to comment one way or the other on his exact philosophical leanings. But I do know that he's a pretty complicated person with a lot of various different views, some of which I think are fantastic, others I think maybe not so great. But it's more nuanced than the quote that Criminal Minds uses might have you believe. So the quote that's used is from an episode in Criminal Minds called Normal, again, from season 4, just after the last one that featured a quote by Ayn Rand. So here's the quote. Quote, "Every normal man must be tempted at times to spit on his hands, hoist the black flag, and begin to slit throats," end quote. So, again, what would this have the viewer of Criminal Minds believe. Again, the viewer is led to believe that this author is prone to violence, because after all, you're only given a tiny, tiny window into this person, and it has to do with slitting throats. And taken out of context, that can make you believe that maybe H.L. Mencken, and by extension, libertarians, support the use of violence. And of course, this is not at all true, but they don't give you the context. They don't analyze it properly. They leave that up to the viewer, who knows nothing about H.L. Mencken. I would venture to say that 99% of all viewers of Criminal Minds have no idea who he is and no understanding of the contributions that he made to literature and journalism in the early 20th century. So let's take a look at the quote itself. So what I think H.L. Mencken was saying was something more than just, well, every person should be violent and slit throats. I think that's far too simplistic. I think what he's getting at here is that all of us, when he talks about every normal man must be tempted at times to spit on his hands, what is he saying? He's saying, well, we all have to get dirty from time to time. And getting dirty doesn't necessarily mean immoral. It means doing things that are difficult. And then hoist the black flag, which is clearly a reference to piracy, pirates, or outlaws, and then begin to slit throats, which I don't think is literal. That's not something I think that he was advocating, literally slitting throats and killing people. I think that was, he took some literary license there and basically is saying that every normal person must be prepared at some point to do the things that you may not want to do in order to survive. I think he's talking about the human condition and necessity of certain situations that you might find yourself in. And this is very different than the story that the Criminal Minds episode that follows leads you to believe. So the story that follows on Criminal Minds is a story of a timid and emasculated husband as a, quote, normal guy, an emasculated suburban husband. What he winds up doing, he winds up killing random people by shooting them from his car because he can't deal with the fact that nobody respects him. His wife doesn't respect him, his children don't respect him, his coworkers don't respect him, and so this normal person must be prepared to get his hands dirty and start slitting throats, which is literally what happens in the episode. And so it doesn't take a genius to figure out that what the writers are trying to do is say, people like H.L. Mencken, read people like libertarians, think that normal people need to get their hands dirty and start killing people. And then they show you a 45-minute episode about a normal guy who goes crazy and starts killing people. This, again, is not an accident, especially when taken in the context of two episodes right in a row using famous libertarians to introduce their viewers to who they want their viewers to think libertarians are, and then the conflation with extreme violence. So the reason that this has got my blood pressure up and it's got me a little bit perturbed, whereas I spent the first 10 minutes of this show telling you that you really should open yourself up and allow yourself to be entertained by some shows that aren't necessarily libertarian. The reason that this caught me is because most of the time I'm perfectly happy to accept that the shows that I enjoy and some of the entertainment that I watch is statist in nature, and okay, that's fine. I can still be entertained by it and it doesn't bother me so much. But this was such a blatant example of indoctrination and propaganda that I think is hidden from most normal people. If you're not in tune and plugged into what libertarianism is and what the core philosophy stands for, it's really easy for this stuff to be embedded in your brain so that when you go about your daily life, what you come away with is that, well, libertarians are fringe and they're violent and they're dangerous and they should be ostracized and ignored. And I think that's a real shame, because anyone who listens to this show understands that nothing could be further from the truth. We understand, as proponents and advocates of the libertarian philosophy, that at the core is non-aggression. At the core is a respect for natural property rights and leaving people alone and allowing them to live their life in peace, even if the way they choose to live their life is different from how you would choose to live your life. So long as the initiation of aggression is avoided, then the philosophy is very simple, and that is to each his own. But you would never get that from these couple of episodes of Criminal Minds, which is, again, like I said, it's too bad because I do still watch the show. I feel very entertained by it. I think it's very fun and exciting. I think they do a really good job. The actors are really good. So I'm not here to tell you that the show is evil and that you shouldn't watch it. If you're into that sort of thing, I think you would enjoy it. And I don't think you should be feeling guilty about enjoying shows like that. So, all right, that's going to do it for this week. We're going to wrap up. Like I said, please expect over the next 6 to 8 weeks, a little bit of a slowdown in the cadence with which I release episodes. It may not be every single Friday. I will do my absolute best to get weekly episodes out, but there's a good chance it's going to be every other week for a little while. And please trust me, as soon as we have good news to share with you about our new child, you will hear it from me on the podcast. And let me tell you, my supporting patrons, you will be the first to hear not only the gender of the baby, but when the baby is born, weight, height, all that kind of stuff. I'll even share with you the baby's name. But that stuff is reserved for my supporting patrons. So if you want to get to know me a little bit better, a little bit more personally, then you have to be a supporting patron. And as a reminder, you can support this show with as little as $1 a month. And in order to do that, you want to go over to battleforliberty.com/support. That's battleforliberty.com/support, and become a supporting patron today. That's going to help me keep the lights on. That's going to help me keep my website going, my web hosting, all of the ancillary expenses that go with hosting a podcast. It's not free, folks. I'm not looking to profit off of this. I just want some help keeping the show alive. That's all. So for as little as $1 a month, and you can get awesome benefits like advance notice of when we have a child. Okay, that's a little bit of a ridiculous one. You're not going to find that on the page in terms of rewards, but you will find things like free merchandise. I have t-shirts, I have bumper stickers. Depending on what level you support the show, you're going to get some free merchandise. You're going to get access to the bonus podcasts, and you're going to get access to the Patreon page, which has bonus blog posts, images, videos. Yes, that's right, I do videos. If you're not a supporting member, you've never seen the Battle for Liberty videos, but I do have them. And if you want to see them, you got to go to battleforliberty.com/support. Everybody have a great, great weekend. Keep spreading the word about the Battle for Liberty. And until next time, battle on.